Well, good morning, everyone. Hello, nice to see you. It's been great just to kind of hear these testimonies, isn't it? Testimony builds faith and it builds confidence in what God is doing and what God can do with us. This week, I was visiting Northern Ireland. I was visiting Alan Scott, who's one of the guys who's coming to speak at next year's clan gathering. And he's the leader of Causeway Coast Vineyard. And so we were out in Coleraine, and for those of you who are nice Northern Irish people, it was lovely. Northern Ireland was lovely. Absolutely fantastic. We had a great time with our friends there. We had the chance to actually kind of go and to join in with what they were doing. And they were doing all sorts of amazing things. They have a year-out program that does encounters. They get people to kind of go out on the streets. That's where Healing in the Streets originated from. So Mark Marks is out there. But they are just seeing tons and tons of stuff. This week, right, do you want to hear some really kind of like outrageous testimonies? In the last fortnight, they have been praying for people who have had operations which have required for them that they have metal joints put into their body, and not only have the people been healed in terms of their hips and knees and all the rest of it, but the metal has disappeared. So they've actually been seeing people whose hips and knees have been healed, because they went back, because they've had these verified by the doctor, who went back to the doctor to get things x-rayed and all the rest of it, and the doctor's saying, what have you done with your hip joint? And so they've had to explain to the doctors, like, well, we were at this meeting and God healed us and, you know, we're able to move, look, you know, and all this kind of stuff. And then they're sort of saying, but what did you do with the metal in your joints? And they said, well, God's removed it. We didn't need it anymore. That's great. And the other one that's been happening, and it's strange the way that things happen, but the other thing that's been happening recently is related to that, actually. They started to pray for people what Alan said was, in the middle of the service, just as we began to speak faith in terms of what God was doing and what God could do, what we were finding was that people were coming up afterwards and showing us the areas of their body where they had had surgery before had had scars which were no longer there. It's like, so, anyone got any scars? Is that like, I think I've got some scars. I remember kind of falling off my bike when I was wee. You know, there's lots of us. And God is healing scars. Not even through people coming to get prayed for, just by being in the presence of God. Actually, those of us who were at the Healing Rooms conference a few weeks ago, one of the things that Rick was talking about, the guy that was speaking, was he said, you know, as we move forward into a greater levels of revelation of what God can do, and indeed, as we move towards that place where we are more and more experiencing the presence of the King, the glory of His presence, that tangible sense of the presence of God, that actually as people are coming into that, people are being healed just by being in the presence of the King. Is that messing with your head or what? So, Causeway Coast Vineyard are now seeing loads and loads of folks, touched and healed, and all sorts of really quite outrageously strange things, but great things. I mean, who wouldn't want to have your scars removed? Who wouldn't want to have the metal pins removed from your body when you're actually well and healthy and whole and all the rest of it? Absolutely incredible. God is doing that, has been doing that in the last 2 weeks. So, just to keep us encouraged by all of that. It's quite interesting, a couple of things. One that Ian said, and actually the way that Avril led us in prayer, are actually going to really connect with what this passage that we're going to come to now in Genesis 41 talk about and help us to understand in terms of what God wants to do with us today. So we've been going through a series on Joseph, and we've come to the point where Joseph is still in the prison. He's been put in prison, He's in prison. He's seen the baker and the cup bearer and all the rest of it get their dreams interpreted, sworn off, and then forget all about him. So he's still in the prison. And this is what happens when we get to Genesis 41. We read from verse 1 through to 36. When 2 full years had passed, that is 2 more years that the guy was in prison for not for doing something that he didn't actually do. When 2 full years had passed, Pharaoh had a dream. He was standing by the Nile when out of the river there came up 7 cows, sleek and fat, and they grazed among the reeds. After then, 7 other cows, ugly and gaunt, came up out of the Nile and stood beside those on the riverbank. And the cows that were ugly and gaunt ate up the sleek, fat cows. Then Pharaoh woke up. He fell asleep again and had a second dream. 7 ears of corn, healthy and good, were growing in a single stalk. And after them, 7 other ears of corn sprouted, thin and scorched by the east wind. The thin ears of corn swallowed up the 7 healthy, full ears. Then Pharaoh woke up, and it had been a dream. In the morning, his mind was troubled, so he sent for all his magicians and the wise men of Egypt, and Pharaoh told his dream, but no one could interpret this for him. Then the chief cupbearer said to Pharaoh, "Today I am reminded of my shortcomings. Pharaoh was once angry with his servant, and he imprisoned me with the chief baker in the house of the captain of the guard. Each one of us had a dream the same night, and each dream had a meaning of its own. Now a young Hebrew was there with us, a servant of the captain of the guard. We told him our dreams, and he interpreted them for us, giving each man the interpretation of his dream. And things turned out exactly as he interpreted them to us. I was restored to my position, and the other man was hanged. So Pharaoh sent to Joseph, and he was quickly brought from the dungeon. When he had shaved and changed his clothes, he came before Pharaoh. Pharaoh said to Joseph, I had a dream and no one can interpret it, but I have heard that it is said that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it. I cannot do it, Joseph replied to Pharaoh, but God will give Pharaoh the answer he desires. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, in my dream I was standing on the bank of the Nile, when out of the river there came up 7 cows, fat and sleek, and they grazed upon the seeds, on the reeds. After then, 7 other cows came up, scrawny and very ugly and lean. I had never seen such ugly cows in all of the land of Egypt. The lean, ugly cows ate up the 7 fat cows that came up first. But even after they ate them, no one could tell that they had done so. They looked like just as ugly as before. Then I woke up. In my dream, I also saw 7 ears of corn, full and good, growing in a single stalk. And after them, 7 other ears sprouted, withered and thin and scorched by the east wind. The thin ears of corn swallowed up the 7 good ears. And I told this to the magicians, but no one could explain it to me. Then Joseph said to Pharaoh, the dreams of Pharaoh are one and the same. God has revealed to Pharaoh that he is to do what he is to do. The 7 good cows are 7 years, and the 7 good ears of corn are 7 years. It's the one and the same dream. The 7 lean, ugly cows that came up after the 7 years, and so are the 7 worthless ears of corn scorched by the east wind. They are 7 years of famine. It is just as I said to Pharaoh. God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. 7 years of abundance are coming throughout the land of Egypt, but 7 years of famine will follow. Then all the abundance of Egypt will be forgotten, and the famine will ravish the land. The abundance in the land will not be remembered because the famine that follows it will be so severe. The reason the dream was given to Pharaoh in 2 forms is that the matter has been firmly decided by God, and God will do it soon. And now let Pharaoh look for a discerning wise man and put him in charge of the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh appoint commissioners over the land to take a fifth of the harvest of each harvest of Egypt during the 7 years of abundance. Then they should collect all the food of those good years that are coming and store up the grain under the authority of Pharaoh to be kept in the cities for food. This food should be held in reserve for the country to be used during the 7 years of famine that will come upon Egypt so that the country may not be ruined by the famine. Father, we want to ask that today, as we hear this word, It would be open to us, not just simply in our heads, but in our hearts, in the very depths of who we are. Come, Lord, and speak to us, we pray, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So what was going on? What was going on in this passage? What was happening at that time? Well, let's talk about the context. The context was this. The ruler of the country, the leader of the country, had clearly received some sort of revelation which he recognized was significant and actually had disturbed him profoundly. And what he began to realize was this, that actually that there were problems which were beyond his ability to be able to, one, understand, and two, do something about. And what actually happened then was this, that he basically consulted his government. Now, not many of us would think that, you know, consulting the magicians and the wise men is actually the government, but that's exactly what he's talking about. This was a government consultation that happened. That's actually what they're describing. He probably, you know, I'm not quite sure if it was a royal commission. It probably was a royal commission, wasn't it? Because he was Pharaoh. But he basically was consulting with the folks who he thought would give him the answers. And he explained what he knew, and they didn't know the answer. They didn't know how to, you know, they didn't give him an answer. They didn't know how to interpret these things. And so it was a situation where there was a crisis in government. There was a crisis because they knew that there was something. He knew that there was something not right. And he tried his very best to try and understand these different things. And he asked everyone that he could think of to ask. And all of the folks that they could, you know, dig up, whether magicians or wise men or whatever it was, because remember that at that point, Egypt in particular was a very strongly occultic community. You know, they were very, very involved in the worship of Osiris and all sorts of other things, which we would look on as being very dark. But what they did, they expected to have answers, and they couldn't find an answer anywhere. And what began to happen was that they kind of did, that, you know, I'm sure they did what all leaders in that situation do, which is they begin to thrash about and look for kind of answers anywhere that they can. And they kind of get desperate about, you know, what is it that's actually going on here? What's actually happening? And so for Pharaoh, he was in a situation where he was very much in difficulty. He knew that there was something wrong. He knew there was a problem that they couldn't solve. He knew that there was stuff happening that actually he was very concerned about. He'd asked everyone that he thought he could ask within his government. He didn't get any answers. He still had the problem. And so what did he do? And that's obviously where we kind of come into the story. And I was thinking about this, and I suppose what I want to do is I want to sort of say this, that actually, again, and this picks up on some of the things that Avril was sort of saying, it's very interesting to me that in 2012, I hear all sorts of stuff coming from our government, and all sorts of, you know, maybe we could do this, maybe we could do this, and maybe we could do this, because actually there's a lot of problems. There's a lot of difficulty within our society. There's a lot of stuff that's clearly not working. We are experiencing a brokenness, not only in terms of our economy, but in terms of all sorts of different aspects of our community life. You know, last year we had riots on the streets. What is going on? We are in a broken country. We have problems. And what happens is this, that the government thrash around the place to try and find solutions. They try to ask their experts. They have royal commissions. They go to the different folks and they sort of say, well, what about this and what about this and what about this? But actually, even when they do these things, you know, they come back and actually, you know, you hear them sort of speaking and you think, I'm not sure that you're even convinced that you know the answers to the problems that are going on. And I think that there's an interesting kind of parallel going on just now in terms of what we look at as we think about Pharaoh and about Joseph and that point of interaction that happened way back then, and we think about our own situation in a country which is desperately in need of solutions which will solve problems which society have identified, but which at the moment don't seem to be coming through. And I think that that's... So I suppose as I think about that, I just think about this situation that Joseph and the Pharaoh had. What does God do? Because it's God that's actually in this. God's not distant and departed. God is watching and conscious and part of all sorts of things that are going on. So he knew what was going on in the land of Egypt. He knew what was going to happen in the land of Egypt. So what did he do? He broke in to Pharaoh's dreams. He spoke to him in the night. He gave him dreams which he was clear when he woke up. You know when you have a dream and you wake up and you think, oh my goodness, that was actually not just a cheese dream that was because I was thinking about whatever it was, but actually there's something going on. And you wake up and you know that actually there's something significant about the dream. That's what happened to Pharaoh on that particular day. And it's interesting to me that that is what happens. I have a friend called Deirdre who's going to come. She'll be here next weekend, actually. She's going to do the church planting course we do, the Invest course. And she actually said during her interview, she said, I've been getting a lot of dreams recently from God. And I said, oh, that's really interesting. Why do you think that is? And she said, it's the only time I keep quiet enough for God to be able to speak to me. And I thought, that's interesting. And I just wonder whether or not there was something of that going on with Pharaoh. This guy surrounded by all of these people, with all of this power, with all of this knowledge, with all of this wealth, with all of this ability, and yet he did not know either what was coming or indeed what needed to happen. God broke in because God is a God who speaks today. God is a God who speaks today. That's the first and most important thing that we learn again and again. We need to hear that. We need to hear that God is speaking today. And God is speaking today not just simply to those of us who follow him and through Jesus, but God is speaking to those who do not know him. And he's doing it because he loves them and wants to actually bring them out of the life that they're in and into new life that he wants to give. And that is what happened here with Pharaoh. Pharaoh needed to have God speak to his situation and actually to break in and to bring about not only an understanding of what was going to happen, but actually a pathway out into a new way of living for them as a country. And it's interesting to me, again, that not only did he do it then, but he's doing it now. And we're going to just show just a short clip of a video just now of exactly this happening all over the world today. So let's just look as we see this video. I want you to look together with me now at a verse from Acts chapter 2 and verse 17. Just one verse. It's from the sermon that Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, and it's actually quoting from Joel. So you could read it in Joel, but let's read it from Acts chapter 2 and verse 17. It says this: "In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy, your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams." Now, here's the important part that it says here. In the last days, and we're living in the last days, we're waiting for Jesus to come, so we're living in the last days. God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people, not just on Christians, not just on the Jews, but on all people. And what will happen? We'll be able to prophesy, we'll have visions, and we will have dreams. God has been pouring his spirit out on all people, on every nation. And the story about Muslims coming to faith because they had a revelation, a dream, a vision of Jesus are so... there are just so many of them now that if you actually went onto the internet, if you go to YouTube, you will find pages and pages and pages and pages of either websites or videos of testimonies exactly like these people gave. God is giving them, not just to Muslims, but to Sikhs and to Hindus, to Buddhists, to atheists, for folks who are way up into the kind of the very northern regions of what was the old Soviet Union, you know, former atheists who are seeing pictures of Jesus, dreams of him, and it's happening again and again and again. Why is that? Because God is doing what he said in his word to do. God is pouring out his spirit on all flesh, and he is giving them dreams and visions. Of what? Of Jesus. He's helping them to see that there is a Savior for them. He's doing that so that they would understand these things. And I know that Heather spoke last week about the whole thing of what she's doing and about the kind of the dream stuff and so on. And I just wanted to actually say, this is something which the church needs to awaken to. We need to awaken to the fact that the God of heaven is doing what he says in his word. He is pouring out his Holy Spirit on all flesh. That is why we are seeing people come and want their dreams interpreted. That's why they're having all sorts of strange experiences at home and wanting to understand what it's all about. And our responsibility within the church is this, that we would stir ourselves up and that we would learn how to do what Joseph was able to do. We would learn how to be able to interpret the dreams of others. Because listen, folks, the word of God's very clear about this. The Father is pouring out his Spirit on all flesh, and they will be able to have visions and dreams, and it will point them towards Jesus, and they'll then come around and they will ask. And that was the other thing that kind of, again, came with what Ian was sort of saying. They'll go anywhere, and I mean anywhere, the spiritualist church, the seances, the clairvoyants, anywhere, to try and find the answers to the question. They will only find the answer here in the church. They will only find the true answer as they hear about the word of God, as it explains to them that actually this is Jesus who's reaching out to them and bringing them a revelation of his love and who he is. And so one of the things that we need to do is we need to wake up. We need to wake up as a church and get equipped and enabled to do that. And I know for me, I've been on these courses, I've been on the streams courses that are available, and I know that for me, you know, I would sort of say this isn't necessarily the thing that I'm really good at. I kind of sort of know roughly what I'm trying to do when someone sort of says, you know, this is the dream that I had, and to be absolutely honest, normally what happens is I kind of go, I have a friend who would be really good, and I kind of bring it to Jill or Heather or someone else that's really good at this kind of stuff. But I think all of us need to learn the basics of this stuff, because this is what God is doing with more and more people, and it will increasingly happen. You know, that's what's going to happen in our workplaces when we talk about things. That's what's going to happen at a college or at university or in the shops or on the buses. That's what's happening. God is revealing himself to people. And they're kind of going, what is this? I had the weirdest dream last night. This is what happened. And that's exactly the experience that Joseph had. That's exactly what this is talking about. Pharaoh woke up and nobody could understand it. Nobody could interpret what that was. But God gave Joseph the ability to interpret these dreams. And it is actually something that we should pursue. It's something that we should stir ourselves with. And I know a number of you have done that, but I want to encourage you, if you haven't already, to get involved. In November, here in White Inch, there'll be the starting course. It's called The Art of Hearing God. Happens at the beginning of November. It'd be great if folks who haven't already done it would kind of book themselves into it. In February and then in May, there's two follow-up dream courses that they're going to run here in White Inch. You know, go on online, find the things, get some training, because actually what's going to happen is this, that God is going to use us to connect with people. Now, in some ways, you might think, right, hey, guys, you know, okay, Alan, I heard that. That's actually what Heather said last week. And that's right, she did. And I just wanted to kind of endorse and reinforce the importance of it. And just again tell you, you know, look at the scripture. The scriptures are clear. God is pouring his Holy Spirit out on all people. Okay? And we're going to see more of this stuff. And so we need to get ready. But the other thing I wanted to kind of talk about, and this is again where it kind of connects into what we're praying for and what Avril was kind of leading us in. What's really interesting is this. When you have a dream, and when you have, even when you've had someone who can actually interpret the dream for you, help you to understand what it actually means, if you don't know what to do with it then actually it's of no use to you at all and can often lead you to a place where you're even more confused or even more anxious. And that's what would have happened with Pharaoh. I mean, if actually what had happened was that that Joseph had just gone along and sort of said, well, you know, these are actually the same dreams. It's actually about famine. It's going to happen 7 years. You're going to have 7 years of harvest and 7 years of abundance and then 7 years of famine. That's actually, and then he sort of said, thanks very much. I'm just going back to the prison now. had a nice day, lovely to see you, Pharaoh. You know, but actually that wasn't what happened. What happened was this, that actually that God gave him creative solutions to the problems which were facing Pharaoh, which actually released life for Pharaoh and actually for all of Egypt and indeed for the surrounding area who all came to them when the famine kind of hit. And the interesting thing is this, that it's so important that we understand that God wants to give us the creative solution to the world's problems. You know, we're talking about the Glasgow effect. You know, I want the Glasgow effect to be that actually everywhere the Glaswegians go, the kingdom of God breaks out in massive, massive power. That's actually that's the Glasgow effect that we're going for. And actually, what we need to do is this. We need to understand that it's not just about us trying to, as a church, kind of looking around and sort of saying, what do we think that the world's problems are? Well, I'll come up with a solution to that. It's actually a much more important process that's required. We need to listen. We need to listen to the people who are in authority. We need to listen to the people who actually are dealing with these difficult situations. We need to engage. And after we've done that, then what we need to do is we need to actually, we need at that point to then begin to seek God for creative solutions for the problems that are facing them. But here's the thing. If you want to affect, I don't know about you, I'd love to actually kind of be able to be drawn into conversations with the government about how to deal with a whole bunch of different issues, because I actually have opinions on some of these things. But the reality is, Alex Salmond hasn't phoned me yet. And yet. He hasn't phoned me yet. And actually, you need to earn the right to be the one that they come to. And that's what Joseph did. You know, cupbearer and baker. 2 years left in prison, rotting for doing something that he didn't do. You know, this guy earned his spurs. He was in prison. He could have had a bad attitude towards those guys when they came to him, and he could have told them to go and take a hike. But instead, when they told them their dreams, what happened was this. He dealt with them well. He helped them. He gave them clarity. And as a result of that, 2 years later, not immediately, 2 years later, the opening came. Because then the cupbearer remembered. Then the cupbearer went, oh, I promised I'd get this guy out. And I'd forgotten all about him. But actually, he could answer your question. He's the one that would be able to do it. And so for me, you know, how do I want to kind of get involved in sort of starting to set the policy for the Scottish Government? Well, the answer is we need to actually go to the Community Council in Whiteinch. We need to start serving on the school board in Whiteinch. We need to start doing the stuff that is right in front of us, right here, right now. It's not about the kind of big, glorious, wonderful, whatever, but it's actually about making it so that people will begin to say, this place, why is it, you know, what will happen is this, why is it that the health statistics in Whiteinch don't look the same as the rest in Glasgow? That's the point at which they'll start coming. And that's the point at which they'll actually start making a difference. That is what we need to be thinking about. That's what we need to be focusing on. Not whether or not we have 127 ideas that we think would be great, and actually, if only they would listen to us, then that would happen. But actually, what are the creative solutions to the problems of our community? That's where we start. Because that's actually where Joseph started. Joseph's community happened to be a cell with these other two guys in a prison. That was actually his community. But he had solutions to his community's problems. He had an understanding, a revelation that allowed him to deal with that. And the same thing is true for us too. And it's tempting to try and jump way beyond that and try and kind of bring influence and bring answers that actually, you know, that in some ways, yes, we might have answers, but we haven't actually walked it out and earthed it in our own context. And so for us, as we think about that, this year we want to see what is it that's actually going to make a difference in Whiteinch. That is why this year we will launch a Christians Against Poverty Centre in Whiteinch, because we've identified that child poverty and the problems related to that in families are so significant that they are causing chaos and destruction in these children and their family. That's why we're committed to actually pursuing that. That's why we're trying to work out how to get the funding, how to get all of that kind of stuff worked out. That's why over the next, you know, over the next few months, we'll be saying as a church, you know, our contribution to actually making CAP work will be that we need to raise some more money. We need probably as a church to be putting in maybe £500 a month to make that possible. And now, that's a big amount of money for us. But actually, we're saying we believe that that's part of the solution for this area. You know, not only that, but actually one of the issues that we've identified is that there are people who just don't have any food. They don't have any food. They run out of food. You know, the money runs out before the end of the fortnight, before they get their next lot of money. And they don't have any food. And so for us, one of the things, again, is we're saying we want to open a food bank. We've talked about these things, but it's time for us to do them. It's time for us actually to bring solutions, creative solutions, heaven solutions to the problems that are actually dealing that we're dealing with here in this situation. And I think it's important for us that we actually need to press in for these things. Now, here's the thing that I think. I think that there are ideas in heaven that haven't been thought of yet. I think that there are ideas in heaven that haven't been thought of yet, that haven't been thought of on earth yet. I think, and do you know why I know that? I know that because that's exactly how all sorts of new things happen. They happen because actually somebody kind of goes, wouldn't it be great if, you know, whatever, whatever, whatever. And they begin to think ideas. Now, I think that that's exactly, again, what happened with Joseph. I think that what Joseph did, as he was giving that interpretation to Pharaoh, as he was helping him to understand the dream, Joseph moved to a place where actually he was then moving in wisdom and in creative problem solving for that context. And I believe that actually that there are things which we look at in our society and which are exactly the things that Avril was pointing towards. You know, all sorts of stuff in terms of our health, education, the way we do family life, the way that we deal with, you know, just all sorts of different things that actually are problems which the government, you know, meaning whichever government you want, but, you know, the government, people in authority are looking at and thinking, we don't know how to deal with this. We have no solutions. We have solutions, but, you know, they're not really working. And I think it's important for us. I want to encourage us not simply to get trained in terms of dream interpretation and all that comes with that. That's important. But I want to say it's time for us to go after God and to pursue him for the creative solutions which are waiting for us to ask. There are ideas not yet thought of awaiting in heaven. God has all the answers to all the world's problems. And actually for us, we need to press in. And not just simply in terms of, you know, not just simply in terms of, you know, things like CAP and the food bank and so on. That's great. But beyond that, you know, I want to see creative solutions in terms of businesses that actually are flourish and make an impact in terms of bringing this community. You know, one of the thing that you will hear if you come to the community consultation that's going to be run in October at the Community Association, I'm sure what will be said is, the greatest need of our community is employability. I mean, there's a whole lot of other things. You know, there's addictions and all sorts of other things. But actually, what people will actually say when they walk through the door is, I want a job. I want a job. I want to be able to provide for my family. I want to actually feel the dignity and worth of being able to go out day by day and actually do something. And I think that there are ideas waiting for us as Christians to call on, to ask God, God, what are the solutions to my community's needs? What are the solutions to my city's needs? What are the solutions to my nation's needs? Because actually, God has answers. I want to ask the question, do you believe that? Do you actually believe that God has answers? Do you? Because if you do, what are we going to do about that? What are you going to do about that? What am I going to do about that? What are we actually going to do about that? If we believe that there are problems that God has the answers to, then what are we going to do? We're going to press into God. Well, are we? Because the reality is that life crowds out that sort of stuff. Life crowds out that sort of stuff. Life crowds out that point where we actually have the time to draw back from the busyness of the day, of the week, of the month, of the year, and stand back and say, God, would you speak to me? Would you reveal these things to me? And I think what I would also want to sort of say is this. I actually think that many of us carry these ideas already. I think that you'll find that some of us who are here today already have ideas. We haven't put them into practice. We kind of maybe look at them and think they're a bit crazy. That won't work. But actually, I believe that God has revealed some of these things to us already. And I'm not talking about just, and I suppose what I want to sort of say, in terms of what we're moving into, we're not just simply moving into, you know, yes, we'll see more healing. Yes, we'll see people come out of debt. Yes, we'll see people being fed. Yes, we'll work with the poorest of the poor. Yes, we'll do all of these things. That's something that we're going to do. That's something that we're committed to doing. But actually, I'm talking about, as I say, creativity in business. I'm talking about dealing with more stuff to do with education. You know, ideas about how we could actually kind of see some solutions in these areas that we work in. I'm talking about, you know, ways in which we could actually make an impact for the king and for the kingdom as a result of receiving from God revelation and ideas and creativity that nobody else has thought of yet, but that we bring and we say, here's a way forward. We think that this would be the way that we could actually do this. We need to press forward into this. And here's the sort of second thing. The first thing is this. God's pouring out his Holy Spirit. People are getting dreams and visions. We need to get geared up for that. Second thing is this, that actually that the world has many problems which only Christians, I believe, will actually begin to have answers to. I'm not saying that there won't be other good ideas, but I'm saying that there are resources from heaven that God wants to release to his children that will answer questions that everybody else is stumped by. That's the second thing. The third thing is this. I want to read to you a quote that was from a guy that I met out in Uganda. So this guy is the head of the church out there, the PAG. Simon Peter is his name. And he said this. In the 21st century, the church will be the greatest agent of social transformation that there is in the whole of the world. And he said, and he went on and he sort of said, even more so than governments. Even more so than governments. And he said, and the reason for it is this, that what we have, first of all, as we live out our kingdom life, as we live out a loving community life, as we empower and equip people to live life in all its fullness, what we have actually nobody else has access to. Nobody else has the resources of heaven behind them. Nobody else has the ability to be able to do the things that Jesus said that we could do that are beyond human ability, that are actually God working through us directly. And the reason why Simon Peter, I actually think, is right is this. He actually sort of said to me, he told me the story about how the government, I told you this, I think, briefly last week, the government has approached the church to say, why is it that the work that you do in terms of community transformation is working where nothing else is working? None of the government programs, none of the NGO programs are working in the same way that this is working. Why is it that it's working? And that's been quantified by different outside folks who have come and verified that actually the programs that they're working actually are producing change in people's lives individually, as families, and in communities. And so as a result of that, the government has come to the church and said, tell us what you're doing. And how can we actually see that happen? And as a result of that, Simon Peter and some of the other church leaders in Uganda have been called to do a presentation to the cabinet of Uganda, along with the president. And they are now beginning to kind of be the ones that set the policy for what's happening in Uganda. Again, and I suppose I just want to sort of say, and that's what I'm talking about in terms of what we want here. You know, they did it in the local churches. They saw it worked. People's lives were transformed. Everybody knew that it worked better than anything else. And the government, the president, phoned up Simon Peter and said, I want to meet with you. I want to hear why this is. And that is what is happening. And that's not just going to happen in Uganda. That's going to happen all over the world, wherever God's people are willing to be bold in terms of pursuing these things. And I think that the reason why, one of the reasons why I believe that actually Simon Peter's right in terms of the, in terms of the kind of church being the agent of greatest social transformation, even greater than governments, is this: that actually I think that, first of all, you know, I think out of a population of 7 billion people, the fact that there are 2 billion of us who follow Jesus Christ actually is a significant workforce for change, shall we say. We are very strongly positioned to see things happen. We are all community-based. We're all located in particular locations all over the world. And so actually we have a network and a contact ability that very, very few organizations can have. We also have people who fundamentally believe that this stuff is not just doing good things, but actually who fundamentally believe this is actually the stuff that we should be doing with all our heart, with all our strength, with all our mind. And so as a result of that, you know, it's not just a few of us who are getting paid to who are actually going to make the impact. It's every single one of us who are salt and light in every circumstance and situation we find ourselves in. That is why the church will be the greatest agent of social change in the 21st century. Because no government can pay all of us to do what we know the King of Kings is calling us to. And yet, as we pursue that, we will see exactly what happens here, which is, as we, like Joseph, give our stuff and do our thing, what happens is this: that actually God uses our willingness and our obedience to see a fantastic transformation. We'll go on next week to talk about what happens next and all the things that happened in Joseph's life that followed that. But here's the thing, you know, I just think that here in the scripture, very clearly, God is speaking to us. God is calling us up higher. God is calling us to press in for those creative ideas. Wouldn't that be great? I don't know. Just think about your circumstance, your situation, your area, whatever it is, and just think, what would it be like if God gave me a killer idea that just totally transformed this bit here? What would that be like? What would that be like, whether it's in a community context or in a business context or in education, whatever it is, health, I know some of you do different things. What would it be like? And it might be that actually the first step is this, that actually you just do the first thing, the small thing, the thing that's right in front of you. It might not be that it's necessarily a world-changing idea, but it is actually that you have a cracking idea about how to deal with the litter in your street or whatever. You know, just stuff that people actually are bothered about. And from that, then we will get the invitation to say, would you like, I'd like to hear more from you. I think actually you've got something to say. And that's what's going to happen as we then see that the church truly will become the lead agency for the transformation of our society. So let's just take a moment or two and let's reflect on these things and ask God to speak to us directly about our circumstance. So let's just be quiet and let the Holy Spirit speak to you just now. Father, I thank you that your word tells us that we're to eagerly desire spiritual gifts. And so, Lord, we recognize that that includes being able to understand and interpret dreams and visions, and being able to speak to people about the things that you are doing in their life. And so, Father, we ask that you would place within us a desire, not just simply to kind of acknowledge that that's something that is real, or, you know, to recognize that other people can do it. But, Lord, we want to pray. Lord, make this a basic skill that everybody has, we pray. We just want to ask that you would help us to know how to do this. So that, Lord God, as we come across, just loads of folks who you're doing things with, who you're speaking to, revealing yourself to, giving visions to, giving dreams to, stirring their hearts of, Lord God, that we would be ready to be able to say, well, tell me your dream, because I think I'll be able to understand that, and I'll help you to understand what it means. so that we would be able to witness to the God of heaven who speaks because he pours his Holy Spirit out on all people. Help us, Lord God, to eagerly desire these things. And Father, we thank you that you're the God of creativity. We thank you that you are the one who has ideas that have not yet been thought by us, but you have. You have all the knowledge, all the understanding, every creative solution to every problem that we're facing. And so, Lord God, we just as we sit here, Lord God, we recognize, we just want to be quiet before you, Lord, and we want you to, and we're asking, Lord, we're pressing in for that creative idea, and Lord, so help us to know what is the problem that you want us to focus on just now. Just make it clear as, and even just now, Lord, in this moment. And Lord, we ask, Lord, release the creative thoughts, the creative ideas from heaven, which will nail this problem. And I ask, Father, in particular, that you would stir up what is within us as well. I thank you that there's already creative, heavenly solutions being given to us already. And I want to pray, Lord God, that for each one of us, that we would have confidence to step up and say, well, I've been thinking about this. I've been thinking about that. Help us to help each other, Lord, that this place would be a place where creativity is fostered and encouraged, and where actually we're able to take steps and have a go at things. So, Lord God, would you do this, we pray. And Lord, we also say to you, we are willing to be agents of transformation. We're willing, Lord. We just show us how to do it. Show us what we're to do. Make it clear to us, Lord, what it is that you want to do. And Lord, as we do these things, we want to pray, Lord, that you would be glorified, that you would be honored, that you would be lifted high, that everything that we do individually and together would point to Jesus. Because Jesus, you are worthy of our praise. And you're the one that it's all about. So Lord, would you do this now, we pray. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.